we have Clinton Scott. Ushers, I will let you do your thing, and let's give them a warm greeting, and no conversation. We'll be here all day. So just say hello, give them a hug, and you can talk to them afterwards in the hospitality area. All right.
Thank you.
Because I said no conversation, so all you decided to do was just hug long. Right. You knew what I was trying to say. Well, God bless you. Though. We are really happy to have you. Thank you, Juanita, and we have had such a... You've been here for a while, and you feel in some ways like you've already been members of our congregation, but I'm excited about the flower, the buds that you are, the gift that you are, the gifts that God has placed within you to share with us. So we are looking forward to our fellowship. All right, at this time, why don't you all stand up, give each other a warm, valuable greeting, and remain standing for prayers.
Thank you.
Father, we come once again thanking you for life.
Yes, Lord.
We're thanking you, Lord, for being in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that your presence in our lives is the distinguishing factor. You are the one who has made the difference.
Yes.
We are what we are by your grace. And we will be what we will be by your ongoing grace toward us. It is the love of Christ that controls us. It is the transforming work of your Spirit that changes us. And Father, we thank you that you make our living more alive.
Yes, Lord.
And we celebrate.
Thank you, Lord.
We celebrate you this morning. We ask that you now open our eyes as we look into your word together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Our message today, which is the second in our series on privileged partners, and the series of privileged partners is all about our working with and being called into fellowship with God as he does his work. And our message today is titled, Keeping a Clear Mind and a Calm Spirit. Keeping a clear mind and a calm spirit. And we're speaking about this in the context of being partners with the Lord as he does his work. Keeping a clear mind and a calm spirit. Now let me say, this message this morning, as is the case with every message, is as much for me as it is for anybody else in here, because like many of us in here, I don't like the way the world is going.
Speak on it.
I'm not happy with it.
Yeah.
Amen. All right, yeah.
If I had my way, I'd push some buttons, pull some levers, open some trap doors, push some ejection buttons. I would change some things if I had my way. I don't like the way the world is evolving. I don't like what we're becoming. I don't like the loss of common decency. I don't like the confusion of values. There's a lot of stuff that gets my craw going, or stuck in my craw. Whatever the phrase is, you know what I mean. I see the world spiraling further and further out of the orbit of the values and the instruction of the scripture. And I'm not happy about it. But I also have to ask myself if my perspective and my response and my approach to an unbiblical system, and increasingly so, if my response itself is unbiblical. You see, we can have a proper response and we can have an unbiblical response to unbiblical things.
Right. Right.
So all the while we're upset about the way the world is going, we can be very worldly in the way we are processing
it.
So we have to be careful that we're not part of the problem. And when we process it inappropriately or inconsistently with the way God has directed us to process it, we become a part of the problem.
I agree.
So this morning's message is as much for me as it is for anybody else. Because I'm caught up in it with everybody else. But our text is from 1 Peter chapter 2. And again, our subject this morning and title is we've entitled it, Keeping a Clear Mind and a Calm Spirit. The text is 1 Peter 2, looking at verses 4 through 12. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 12. I'll give you just a couple seconds more. 1 Peter 2, 4 through 12. As you come to him, the living stone. I just want to stop for just a second. I always like to pull over when I'm traveling through a passage of scriptures and I come to that phrase, the living one. The living stone. I just like to stop for a moment and pause and reflect on the fact that what we're talking about here is our relationship with the living God, not a dead idol or a God of stone, the living stone. So I was celebrating this morning, and you are the risen King. You are alive.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
That's what it's all about. But it says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those of you who do not believe, those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul.
Wow.
Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. If you're taking notes, the main idea that I want to extract from this passage, the main idea that I'd like you to walk away with and think about during the week, and we're going to develop this, but the main idea is staying focused on God's work, staying focused on God's work instead of world conditions. Staying focused on God's work instead of world conditions brings clarity of action and peace of mind. Staying focused on God's work instead of world conditions brings clarity of action and peace of mind. Gives us a compass. It gives us an anchor, gives us consolation, gives us hope. It helps us to feel productive. It puts us in a constructive posture instead of a reactionary one. So the main idea is staying focused on God's work instead of world conditions brings clarity of action and peace of mind. There are three points that I'd like you to consider this morning. And the first one is this, and we're going to bring it out of this passage. The first one is God's work continues through all conditions. As we keep these three points in mind, and as we look at it in the context of the text, it will help us to have clarity of action and peace of mind. So the first point is, God's work continues through all conditions. No matter what happens in the world, no matter what happens today or tomorrow or in November or in January, no matter what happens in the world over in Syria or Iraq or Iran, no matter what North Korea is doing, no matter what is going on in the world politically, Jesus is still risen.
Yes, he is.
He is still the risen King. He is the living stone, it says in verse 4. The living stone. No matter what happens, he's still risen. No matter what happens in the world, Jesus still lives inside of his people. He's not going anywhere. No matter what condition the world may be in, Jesus still lives inside of his people. We belong to God, it says in verse 9. We belong to him. And we're sealed by his Holy Spirit. No matter what happens in the world, Jesus is still going to return. And he's going to return to set everything straight by making all things new. We didn't plan this with the worship team. But yes, he is going to come back. And he has made all things new. We are new creatures. But a day is coming when he's going to straighten all of this out. That day is coming. Just as sure as he rose from the dead, he's coming back. The angel said so. They said the same Jesus will come back exactly the way you saw him go. No matter what happens in the world, Jesus is still returning. That's why it says in verse 12, on the day he visits us. On the day he visits us, not if he should come back. On the day that he visits us, the old way will be done away with. What we are familiar with will be no more, and our hearts won't miss it. We'll say, good riddance. Hallelujah.
Yep.
Take us forward, Lord.
Yes, indeed.
And in the meantime, no matter what happens in the world, Jesus is still building his kingdom. It says that we're being built into a spiritual house. This house is comprised of every person who puts his or her faith in Christ. You become a part of this glorious house that the Lord is building. You become a living stone. And the Lord is building his kingdom. He's building this spiritual house one life at a time. In all conditions. I really like what it says in Acts 12:24. Just one verse. And it just says, but the word of the Lord grew and multiply.
Amen.
Whenever stuff is happening in the world, Acts 12:24 is a good one to just take out and look
wow.
at. What's going on in the news? But the word of the Lord continued to grow and multiply. What's happening on TV? The word of the Lord continued to grow and be multiplied.
Wow.
No matter what is going on in the world, the Lord continues to build his kingdom. God's work continues through all conditions. Number two, there is only one issue. There is only one issue. When we remember there's only one issue, it gives us clarity of action and calmness of spirit. There is only one issue, the essential issue in the universe for each person to decide is, what will you do with the stone? What will you do with the living stone? It says, to you who believe, the stone is precious. But to those who don't believe, they will one day be judged by the one they rejected. There's really only one issue. What will you do with the living stone? Are you the one who will believe and see him as precious? Or will you be the one who rejects him and one day see that he is the very cornerstone of all that God is doing? I like what it says here. It says, they stumble because they disobey the message. And what is the message? The message is summarized in verse 6. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. In John 6:29, Jesus put it this way when he was asked, what must we do to do the works of God? And Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe in the one whom he has sent. The work of God is to believe in the one whom he sent. For us as believers, as we look at the world in all of its shapes and sizes and conditions, in all of its turmoil and tumult, its confusion and chaos, there is really only one issue. And our message is believe, not behave.
Say it,
Pastor. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
The message of the church is believe, not behave.
My, my, my.
When we move over into this, y'all stop and behave properly, we get all messed up.
Yeah.
You see, there's only one issue. What will you do with the stone? What do you believe about the stone? That is our job. That is our focus. That is our mission. That is our work. That's what keeps us straight. That's what we're about. That's what we've been called to. Heaven is a single issue destination. It's a single issue destination. It's not, what is your political affiliation? It is not, what is your position on any social issue? It is not whether you're fiscally conservative or progressive / liberal.
Right.
It's not what you believe about climate change.
Right.
It's not what you believe about any of these issues. It's really about the stone that God calls precious. The stone that is the cornerstone of God's building. That's why I like what, again, we didn't plan this, but I have it in my notes. The solid rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
Hallelujah.
That's the issue. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. What in the world does that mean? It means when I am at my best. The best I got. My best day.
Hallelujah.
When I got everything working.
Yeah.
When I feel good about myself.
All right.
When I feel like, God, how could you not take me?
Right.
I got it working today. I would never say that because I'm too spiritual, but I'm thinking, of course you love me. Who couldn't on a day like this?
Yeah.
Why don't you come back right now? I'm ready.
Right.
I dare not trust the sweetest friend, but wholly, 100% wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground. I like that they said it twice. All other ground is sinking sand. That's the issue.
That's it. Preach the word of God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Every believer is a living stone in the building of which Christ is the cornerstone. Heaven is going to be a wild and glorious assortment.
What you say? A little bit of this and a little bit of that.
I'm telling you, some of these stones we're going to sing are pretty exotic. All the characters of the Bible.
Yeah. What a day.
The ones who believe. All the characters of the Bible. All the people throughout history. And God's been doing this since the beginning of time, since the beginning of mankind's feet being planted on earth. God has been building his kingdom. What a glorious day it's going to be. Heaven's going to be wild.
Yes,
indeed. See some of these other stones.
Right.
I have to tell you one of these days about my wife and her thing about Martha and Mary.
Okay.
She goes into this whole thing about Martha and Mary, and she's a big defender of Martha. And she's got this thing about, well, Mary, you know, I know all about Mary. I said, you know what? You keep on talking about Mary. When you go to heaven, God's going to send her in your welcoming party.
That's how he does.
Mary's going to be the first one to greet you. And the barn said, I ain't scared. You think that scares me? When I see Mary, I'm going to say, how you doing, gorgeous? Take her a ribbon. I want to see that. But what a day it's going to be when we meet face to face people from all through history who had a point in life where they met the living stone and they believed and he became precious to them as he became precious to us. And as he is, that's our message. That's the only issue that is going to determine the population of heaven.
That's it.
What do you believe about the stone? And you know what? We're the only ones that can take that message. The church. People who have come to know Christ. We're the only ones that can take that message. Lots of people can take a message of social change. But only those who have been born again of the Spirit of God can convey what it means to trust the living Son. We believe because it says we were chosen. Now, if we were to further develop Peter's illustration of the building, the Holy Spirit is the mortar that holds us living stones in place. He's the one that keeps us secure, keeps us in the wall, so to speak, and connected to one another. And I like that phrase, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, who lives inside of each one of us. What a glorious truth. The third point, and this is the point I want to elaborate on a little bit more and close with. Be a pro. Be a pro, not a con.
Wow.
Be a pro, not a con. Be a proclaimer, not a condemner. Be a pro, not a con. We are called to proclaim the praises of him, it says. We are called to proclaim the excellencies of him. We are called to talk about how magnificent he is, not how bad the world is. We are called to proclaim the praises, the excellencies. We are called to highlight his glory. We are called to talk him up from the fullness of our lives that have been touched by the living one. And so I wrote this past week, why are Christians, why are so many Christians so angry? Why are so many Christians so angry? Was Jesus angry as he hung on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Doesn't sound like an angry response to a world gone so mad that it killed its creator. Even in his agony, Jesus had enough overflowing love to pardon a dying thief. And yet so many of us are angry with the world. And it isn't even our world.
It ain't even ours.
It's not even ours to be angry about.
I love it.
Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And it goes even further. Everyone who dwells in it.
Yes.
All the people in it.
Yes. Wow. Come on. It's not even ours.
So many of us wringing our hands with worry.
My goodness.
Right, Pastor. Come on.
With despair. And despite the instruction to be anxious for nothing. See, again. Are we being unbiblical in our response to an unbiblical system?
Right.
Be anxious for nothing. It doesn't say be anxious for nothing except the condition of the world.
Right.
You can really worry about that.
Right.
You can really lose sleep and be angry that the world is so unrighteous. Let those ungodly sinners really have it. Where is the spirit of Father? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was exemplified by our Lord in his most excruciating and vulnerable moments. Where is it? I see so little of it. Remember John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's a great one to memorize. No matter how classic, it's still true. No matter how well-trodden, well-worn, cliched it may have become, the potency of it remains. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Equally as important is the next verse, John 3:17, which I wish we packaged both of them.
Come on now.
Because we like John 3:16, but we also need to remember John 3:17, because 3:16 talks about the content. Verse 17 talks about the process.
Yeah.
Verse 17 says, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Anger is easy. Anger is easy to be angry. Love is noble. But it's not easy. That's what makes noble things noble. Say, well, boy, okay, Pastor, I got this whole thing, but Jesus was angry. What do you think he was doing when he cleared out that temple? No, he didn't clear out that temple. He cleared out his temple. My temple. We don't own it. It's not our world. It belongs to him. One day, he's going to execute his wrath upon the earth. One day, it's going to happen. And that is why our hearts need to be focused on seeing people come to know him. See, Jesus didn't come to earth on a repair mission. He came on a rescue mission. He didn't come into the world to fix it. He came into the world to save those who were trapped in it. Wow. He came to rescue POWs, not change the POW camp into a paradise.
All right.
He's going to get rid of this. He's going to level it. Wow. This cannot be restored. This has to be made new. He's going to torch it. 1 Peter, 2 Peter says, the elements are going to melt.
Wow.
It's going to melt it down.
Good God Almighty. Yes.
Start all over again.
My.
In the meantime, he's out to save as many as possible.
Amen.
So my prayer for myself, like I said, I'm caught up. It's easy to be angry. It's easy for me to be angry. I said it in the first place, didn't I? Said, I'm with everybody else on this. It's easy to be angry. Love requires a bit more creativity. It requires a bit more energy. And so my prayer for myself is that God will give me greater compassion of heart and creativity of mind and boldness of spirit. You see, my prayers are not for somebody out there. My prayers are for me, that I would be the instrument that God wants me to be in order to accomplish his work. So I'm praying that God would help me to share the solution with the world rather than simply raging against its wrongfulness. I don't know of any verses that say that the job of a Christian is to make the world a better place, or to return it to its old good self. I see plenty of instruction that we're fellow workers with the Lord as he builds his kingdom, as he calls men and women out of darkness into his light, that we're to proclaim the praises of him who's called us into his marvelous light, proclaiming the praises of him, not decrying the condition of the world, or proclaiming biblical values. That's not what we're here to do. We're here to proclaim him. So are we spending more time shaming than proclaiming? Being strident, squeaky, and squawky? This doesn't seem to fit what I see in the scripture. God's work continues through all conditions. There's only one issue. Be a pro, not a con. Staying focused on God's work instead of world conditions will bring clarity of action and peace of mind. What am I proclaiming? This is what I'm proclaiming. Speaking only for myself, I have found the vision of knowing Christ better to be the most fascinating, transforming, and blossoming personal growth experience I have ever had. I can see why Paul would pray for the beloved church at Ephesus. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I simply cannot think of a more amazing gift. And therefore, I would just rather direct my trying hard energy into knowing the Lord better. My trying hard energy into trying to release who he is to me. Who he is to me. Not pontificating, not lecturing, but who he is to me. You see, the woman that Jesus encountered at the well, what made her drop her bucket and run? What made her run back into the city so excited that she could not help but spill beans? She had encountered a Savior who made her thirsty. That's the Savior that is our Savior. He's a thirsty-making Savior.
Amen.
If we present him and we don't get caught up in all kinds of stuff. And the thing about presenting Jesus, you don't have to sell him. It's a product that sells itself.
Amen.
See, you don't have to shout it. You don't have to be very persuasive. You don't have to be a scholar. You would be amazed by the little that the Lord has taken from the mouth of someone who felt totally inadequate and created a chain reaction in the hearer that the person is still marveling over today. See, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Now, he's speaking about his death on the cross. But he's also speaking about his ongoing work. You present me, and I will do the drawing. It's not up to you to convince anybody. Don't get caught up in that. You share it with somebody, and they don't listen. Oh, it didn't work. Oh, yes, it did. It worked just fine. Because what you did in sharing that is God used you to nudge that person. Maybe you're the nudger. And someone else comes along with the net.
There we go.
The netter. You may be the netter or you may be the nudger. But either way it goes, when we present him, we've done our jobs.
Thank you, Father.
And it doesn't always have to be a 5-page outline of A to Z. It doesn't have to be that way. Now, it's good to know the ABCs of the gospel and the Romans Road and all the different things that you can use to effectually lead a person to Christ. But the most powerful thing any of us have is our story. And that's why Jesus said, who do you say I am?
Jesus.
Not what everybody else has written about me. Or thinks about me. Who do you say I am? See, that's what we take to the world. Who do you say I am? That's enough. And as time goes on, who he is to us grows. It becomes bigger. As we get to know him, who he is to us becomes so big we can't contain it.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Elders, would you come forward, please? I'm done. Ask you to stand and hold the hand of the person next to you and cross aisles. We're going to pray for you. This is our Care Through Prayer Sunday, and we're going to just take a few minutes to lift you up into number 9, Barlow. We're going to lift you up into number 9.
And I'm going to have Brother Yankee here start us off, and then I'm going to have Brother Bill, and then Brother Jim, and Elder Bill, and Elder Michael. And each one of them is going to pray a specific for specific area. So,
let's pray together. Lord, thank you for relationships.
Yes.
What an amazing thought that we would be in relationship with you. And what an amazing thing that you live in us. That we are connected to you and so intertwined with you that we don't quite understand what that means. The Holy Spirit lives in us to guide us and lead us and to enlighten us and to illuminate the Word of God and to help us to love those that would hate us. Lord, thank you for that relationship. What an amazing thing. Thank you that we can love people that we barely know because we pray for them.
Yes.
And they don't even know we're praying for them. And we love them because of that relationship with you. Thank you that because of that relationship, we give our time. We give our money. We give our energy. And we can bring anything into your presence without fear.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We never have to worry about rejection.
Amen.
Or you not having time for us. Or you not being attentive to what we're saying. Or treating us, our requests, as trivia. So thank you for our relationship with you this morning. It's just so simple. It's you did come to save us. You saved me. Like Pastor said, I remember when you saved me at Pilgrim Rest Baptist Church that Sunday morning, tears streaming down my face because I knew I was lost, Lord. I knew I was going to hell. There was no debate about that, but you spoke to me, and I heard you. And so thank you for a relationship that's real and vibrant. Thank you for a church full of people who have that relationship with you. Thank you for a pastor that believes in that relationship and preaches about it all the time.
Yes.
Thank you that this is not a joke or a trick or a lie. Or some kind of group therapy that we got going on. But this is a relationship with you. And we praise you and thank you that it will be forever. In Jesus' name.
Father, we just want to remember that you have given us work to do.
Yes.
That when you created Adam and Eve, you gave them a garden to tend and work. And when you, Jesus, came, you said you had the work that the Father had given you to do. Lord, many of us are working in jobs that we enjoy and find meaning. It also provides for us, and we thank you for abundantly giving those to us.
Yes.
Lord, some of us are in jobs that we don't like. We feel are a waste of our time and energy, but we have to do it. And I just pray for each person that's in that place, that they would find you present with them. And Lord, of course, we would wish that you would lead them out into something more satisfying. But sometimes that's not the way. And we pray that you would make the time rich with your presence.
Yes.
Lord, some of us are unemployed and desperately need work. We lift each one in that predicament, Lord, and asking you to bring the gift of work to them. Lord, that you would be glorified. Lord, we thank you for caring about every aspect of our lives.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
That's right. Father God, I just want to bring the health of this body of believers to your throne of grace today.
Yes.
Father, I want to start off by praying for Robert Craig's little niece this morning, Jeannie Schaefer, 3 weeks old, went to meet Jesus early this morning.
Jesus.
And Father, in praying for this body of believers, I want you to just let each person in here that you call know that you are it. There's nothing else other than you that can make our health relative to it being physical health, spiritual health, mental health, marriage health, whatever health, God, it is. I'm asking you to let us look to your face.
Yes.
And keep our eyes upon you, God. Regardless of where you have us in this health journey with you.
Yes.
Oh, my Lord. It's so good when you let us keep our eyes on you, because it goes from being a negative thing when we keep our eyes on us to a very positive thing when we keep our eyes on you.
Yes.
God, it's all about you, as Pastor was talking earlier. And my prayer for the health of this body of believers, that we go back to our first purpose, and that's to get to know you better, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Let us get to know you better, because then we'll know ourselves better. We'll begin to look at our overall health better.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God, thank you for being in us. Yes. And this morning is no joke. This morning is not just a happenstance. This is a morning you called into beings. And you gave us the prayers this morning. And we didn't give them to ourselves. You gave them to us. So we just want to stop and give you all the glory and all the praise for the good health that you have in this body of believers. The love Brother Michael was talking about. When you walk in this door, we want you to feel at home. We're going to proclaim Jesus. We ain't going to condemn you for nothing. It ain't our place to condemn you. And so we just say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord.
Lord, there are people among us here, Lord. We're all fathers, mothers, sons, daughters, uncles, aunts. And some of us are satisfied with most of our relationships. And some of our relationships, Lord, really need help. And I ask, Lord, for people who are standing among us, Lord, who are troubled by any relationship situation. I ask, Lord, that your peace would guard their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Yes, God.
We ask that the love of Christ would control them. We ask, Lord, that they would come to your throne of grace and receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. That none would feel that it's up to them to make it happen or to fix it. But Lord, to rely upon you and trust you for the wisdom, the timing, the words, the silence, yes, bring somebody else into the picture. Yes. Doesn't always have to be us who fixes it.
Yeah,
yeah. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have many people in this city and on this world. And so we thank you, Lord, that we all stand in a place, in one place or another, of need. And that we can join hands together and look to you as our source. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated for our last song.